Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one show to bring you all things Club America and English.
Oh, what a strike, Club America!
Your hosts for today are Ivan Pineda, Cristian Rosendo, Alexis Juarez, and everyone's favorite cowboy, Dylan Jimenez.
Go!
Now let's hit the field and start the show.
America!
Welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. Today, we're going to be talking all things Lady Aguilas. Today, we're going to be recapping the roster updates that have been going on. We got a new coach to talk about as well. And then we're going to be giving you guys a little bit of a recap of what happened in the preseason. And then, of course, the big preview being the Apertura 2021, going into what should be hopefully a better season than last for our ladies. And then, of course, the preview against Santos Feminil as the ladies will debut in the Estadio Azteca in home soil against Santos. So, quite the jam-packed episode that we got in store for you guys. So, plenty and plenty to talk about. And as always, the America Feminil expert himself joining me tonight. It is none other than AJ. AJ, my friend, how are we?
Doing good. Very excited. The true season begins for me, and it starts with America Feminine, and I cannot wait to talk everything about Lady Aguilas today.
All right, Nigel. Well, let's not hold back any further. Let's just jump right into it because we got plenty to cover and plenty to talk about. Let's just kind of recap where we left off last time we talked about Lady Aguilas. It was the fact that Leo Cuellar had already officially been sacked by himself. He quit. He said, I can't do this anymore. I'm old of age. I'm going to be retiring. I'm done of this. And then, of course, we had an interim manager. Finally, after many, many speculations as to who the manager is going to be, we get Craig Harrington, who, by the way, AJ, isn't painted in the best of lighting, let's be honest, with some of the allegations following his previous clubs, which didn't really rub America fans the right way. Although we have to kind of give him the benefit of the doubt in this one. America saw something in him, and I'm guessing they did their research before actually hiring this man. Or at least one would hope so. And so it's going to be interesting to see what he can bring to the table. What can you tell me so much about the new English manager in Coapa?
Well, to start things off, he was the manager for the Turks and Caicos countries team for 2016. Then he became the assistant manager for the Chicago Red Sox, which did end up going to a final in the NWSL, which they would end up losing. He then became the head coach of the Utah Royals FC, which now became disbanded. That's where most of the allegations came from. Now, finally, the America Feminil to one of the biggest clubs and women's soccer in Mexico. And to just give him a job just like that, as you mentioned before, everyone had everyone scratching heads to why we hired this man. Claudio Carrion sees different. She saw a reason why she got the Englishman to come manage the team. And he says he has prior experience where he did visit Mexico to see some games. So he maybe has an idea to how the game is played in Mexico, and especially how the league is evolving. But to see him get the job, see what this man can do. Lead in the past now and see what he can do now in the current and present, especially with the results he's been getting us in preseason. Things are looking good for America Feminine, and this could be a whole new chapter for Craig Harrington.
It definitely can be, and hopefully it's a new chapter for these ladies as well. As we'll talk a little bit about the roster updates in just a second. I just want to mention Chris Rivera saying, educate me on women's football, brothers, and that's what we come here to do. At least AJ comes to educate all of us. I know he's the real expert. I'm just here to kind of weave and navigate some of this podcast right here. But it is interesting to see that Craig was the guy that was, hired for this, and then we'll have to wait and see. We have to give him the benefit of the doubt, and I mean, not trying to compare, the men's and the women's side here, but could he be that kind of Solari push that we've seen over on the men's side of things with the ladies? It'll be an interesting kind of aspect to keep an eye out on, and we'll have to wait to see what happens. But for the meantime, we have a new manager, and, we'll talk a little bit about results in preseason, but things are looking promising. But again, I don't want us to jump, get on our high horse right away and just be like, the savior is here and now. I think there's still a long way to go for these ladies. There's a big uphill battle, but they've started off on the right foot, and I think that's the most important part. And we'll talk a little bit about that in just a second. But AJ, talk to me. Before we kind of got on here, we talked about how this season seemed to be a little bit different in regards to transfers. We've gotten a total of how many departures?
That is 8 departures from this club.
Eight departures, and if I'm not mistaken, 6 arrivals into the team.
Yep.
Alrighty then, AJ, if you'd be so kind as to read off who were the ladies that departed from the club this season. Prior season.
Mm-hmm. So to start things off, Camila Martinez, Fernanda Piña, Jennifer Munoz, Zulma Hernandez, Dalia Molina, Vero Perez, Hannah Gutierrez, and JD Gutierrez were all the players to leave America Feminine from the season before. And that's a lot of names, but when you look into the names, some of these players doesn't leave that much pain in that in America fans' heart. But to some example, like Hannah Gutierrez, that's one you did not, people really didn't expect. But with the rumors of her going to Adidas, it was bound to happen some point. It's really unfortunate to see a player like her go. Jennifer Munoz is also another name as well, but she did explain the reasons of why she left the club. She is retired from women's soccer and is looking to pursue things that are outside of soccer. But the other names, they didn't really have much playing time. And some did have impacts while others didn't. But to see eight players go, it's unfortunate. But with the six players that have joined in, it makes you see forget about the departure that happened with this club.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about the inclusions, the arrivals into the team for this season. But like you mentioned, I think there were some big names there that a lot of us didn't expect. Two of them being, of course, Hannah and Jen. Jen, of course, friend of the podcast. And obviously she stated her reasons as to why she's left not only the team, but the sport in general. Like we've mentioned before, we wish her nothing but the best of luck in her new endeavors. We're rooting for her. And then, whenever... Hopefully, one day she decides to strap on those boots again, and it should be an issue. Hey, if Paul Scholes did it, why can't Jennifer Munoz? That's all I'm saying. But like you mentioned, I think the biggest shock being outside of Jen Munoz, because I think that was the biggest of them all. But outside of that, because she didn't transfer to a new team or anything like that. But I think, outside of that, Hannah was a big one. Even though I feel like me and you both were very hypercritical of her. We were very kind of nitpicky with her, but I think that she was showing her best football towards the latter stages of the season. And it was quite frustrating to see that America let such a player go like that. Not just her, but her sister as well. Her sister's still yet to find a club. I know rumors saying that she might end up over here in the States playing, but that is still yet to be determined. But Hannah, going to a club like Tigres that is, let's face it, the club for Liga MX Femenil, that's going to be an interesting one. Will she get playing minutes? That's going to be, I think, a toss-up in the air, AJ, because I don't know if she fits in that squad right away as a starter.
Yeah, no. With Roberto Medina, you're kind of lucky if you happen to even get any minutes, because youngsters in that club, they don't tend to get that many minutes. They only really ever play if it's to fulfill the league requirements. But with a player like Ana Gutierrez, who really is like a Swiss Army knife, she could play as a left back, could play as a left mid. I've seen her as a right mid at some point, and she can even play as a right winger. And if needed, you could put her as a center mid. So as a player like her, just that young, she could play in a variety of positions, which could be an advantage to Tigres if they ever need to sub any one of their players out. Ana could just slot right in. So for them, honestly, it's a win. But like you mentioned before, when she gets the playing time, that's to be determined. She'll have to fight for a spot in that Tigres spot, considering how many high caliber players are in that starting 11 of theirs.
Yeah, but I would have loved for her to stay at America. I think she definitely had potential, and I think that's the most frustrating thing about it all. But I mean, we'll have to wait and see what happens. But enough of the departures, AJ. Let's talk about arrivals, because there's some very interesting names that have come to America to bolster the squad in hopes of what should be a better apertura than last. Give me the names of the arrivals for this 2021 apertura.
Mm-hmm. So we have versus Kiana Palacios. Then we have Karen Luna, Zoe Aguirre, Amanda Perez, Natalia Malion, and Alexandra Godinez. And all these players that have arrived at Coapa, if I give my take on it, these are really good signs compared to what we have from last season, where really I'd say maybe only two or three actually worked out. All the players that we picked up from this transfer window, very solid. And it was much needed improvement for the squad overall. Many of these players have Liga MX experience for the most part. We have players who are coming from outside the league themselves. For example, like Zoe Aguirre, she played for Eastern Kentucky University. You have Amanda Perez, who came from Sporting SP of Portugal. And Kiana Palacios is the big name, I'd say, out of all these players coming from that Sociedad of Spain.
Yeah, I mean, Kiana being the biggest one of them all, right? I mean, just an individual full of talent. and hopefully full of energy that can bring a spark to this America attacking side. You can give us a little bit more of a position wise for her in just a second as to where she fits in the scheme of Carrington. But I look at you know the players that have come in and you look at the track record that they have. It's hard not to feel excited, you know, because you feel like these are truly additions to the team that make it well-rounded all better. Like we have individuals in the club already. You're talking about, you know, Macharelli and Go, Jocelyn, Yaneli Farias, you know, Eva, you know, Monse, and of course Dani. And then you bring in a player like, you know, Kiana, the ones you just mentioned prior to that as well too. It feels like, okay, now we've kind of bolstered the squad, now we have depth, and now we have individuals that fit in the pieces that they need to fit, and they don't kind of off balance the team as in years prior. So I think from my perspective, that is the good thing. That is a very good thing to have. But of course, everyone's going to be talking about Kiana. You know, women's national team player. She has a great track record with the national team, not just the national team, but of course her time over there in Europe. Talk to me a little bit more about her for those who may not know exactly who she is.
She's an American Mexican soccer player, 24 years of age. Like you mentioned, she plays for the women's national team of Mexico. She did start off playing in the States before moving off to go play in Europe, then eventually make her way to Spain. In Spain, she played 70 games, only being able to score 13, but it was in a high competitive league like in Spain, where they have some of the best teams playing over there in Spain and in women's football in Europe. So for her to be playing that many games, the team definitely saw something in her. But what does this mean for America Feminine? It's a good signing. You got someone who's got the experience playing in overseas and plays for the national team, and now for the first time she gets to play in Mexico and what a team to play for like America. She does have friends in the team who do play on the national team with her. And for her to be a striker as well, which is something I feel like America has kind of been lacking, she could definitely be the player to finally be that number nine that we definitely need, our goal scorer. In pricing, we always looked at Dani Espinosa, but she has struggled from time and time, and it feels like season she has been going down in her goal scoring. But with someone like Kiana Palacios to help out now, it's very good, and I'm really excited to see what she can do in an America Feminine, in an America uniform.
You know, the most interesting thing for me about this signing is I feel like it's going to bring the best out of Dani, because now she kind of is trying to find her role in this America side, knowing that she's not going to be that target player up top. She has the ability to be more creative, be more of that kind of explosive player, making things happen for America, be a true number 10 for this team. And then, of course, seeing what Kiana's capable of incorporating to the squad, too, will be interesting. Now, here's an interesting thing. Kiana is very good friends with Jocelyn, who is also very good friends with Jen Munoz. Like, that is, these girls have grown up and played with each other their entire lives. And for any true Americanista out there that used to watch the Instagram lives of either Jocelyn or Jen back, they would always find a way to incorporate Kiana, and they would always joke around and laugh, and people would be like, oh, Kiana, come to America. And I guess Kiana's dad is not a huge America fan, so this is kind of like one of these things that I was always skeptical, but it would always make sense if she did end up coming to America. And I'm actually really happy that she has. I am a little bit saddened, though, that the timing just was a little bit off, because what a team this America side could have been if you would have had kind of a spine of Jocelyn Orejel in defense, Jen Munoz in the midfield, and Kiana Palacios up top, scoring the goals. I think that would have been just mind-blowing, right?
That's a triple threat right there.
You're talking about players that have grown up playing with each other since they were little, to the point where now they're professionals. And so it's a little bit frustrating that, you know, things just didn't land the way that they did. But of course, we're not saying anything negative. We're not, you know, saying like, oh, Jen, come back or anything like that. We're just saying it would have been nice to be able to witness that. But it's not to say that this America side is not capable of producing what we think in mind still to this day. It'll be interesting. be interesting to see what happens. But very good incorporations that I think we have. And I think as the season develops along the way, we'll see exactly what these ladies can bring to this America side. Not just the ones that are incoming, but I think, you know, players like Cascueva, who maybe have a lot to still give to this America side, especially after having a poor season like they did. You know, players like that, that you just think little by little, with a little bit more internal competition, will bring the best out of them. And hopefully mean that this team is going to be a much, much better side. I just want to read off a question here that I put up not so long ago. It's by Chris saying, not sure if this is the right time to ask this, but is it fair to that some fans blame the women's squad investment to why the men's squad investment have been poor? I don't know if I'm reading this right, AJ. Let me know if your interpretation of this is any different than mine. But I think Chris is asking if some fans are blaming the women's investments and being like, well, America is putting money for the women's rather than putting it for the men's, which I don't think is adequate. I think they're two different transfer budgets. Mm-hmm. I think they're dealt with differently. And I'll tell you this much. There's a lot cheaper transfers going on in the America Femenil than what the men's are trying to do. Because as big of a name as Kiana Palacio is, as big of a name as she is, I promise you, we did not have to break the transfer market to try to bring her in. Although if we try to bring in any other player, America knows already that, one, we don't even have foreigner spots, and two, just the money.
Bad contracts.
Bad contracts. And then the money people would ask for a Mexican is ridiculous. So I think the transfer market is kind of an influx in when you can try to compare the women's to the men's side of things. Of course, this is not what we're here to do. We're never here to compare either one or two. You know, they both have their own separate kind of transfer budgets. They both have their separate kind of, you know, seasons and stuff like that. And we don't really like to mix them. But I don't think it would be fair if any fan was to blame the ladies' side as to why the men's haven't been able to do anything in regards to the transfer window. I think that is a whole different topic, and that's something that we've discussed on prior podcasts over on the men's side of things. So if you guys want to go check that out, we do go into some deep discussions as to why we think America is not making the transfers that they are. But one thing's for sure, AJ, I'm glad that the ladies got the job done. And it looks like they did their homework pretty well. What grade are we going to give them at the end of the season? That is still yet to be determined. But as of right now, things are looking promising, AJ.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. Especially just looking up some of the players' like stats from how they played for other teams. Like, example, like Natalia Malion, only 19 years of age. She's played over around 90 games with Toluca and scored 33 goals. She's their all-time goal scorer. Just like before, we brought someone like Dalia Molina to the team when she was the all-time leading goal scorer for the defunct Morelia side. Zoe Aguirre, she's a goalkeeper. She's been the third string goalkeeper. This stat, in her rookie year, she made 92 saves. 92 saves. That's impressive towards me. That's impressive to me, actually. See someone with her, and she's 5'9", I think, she's on the taller aspect of things.
She is on the taller aspect of things.
That's tall. Yeah. But tall. No.
Stick her in goal, because I'm tired of seeing her Nata Mashele get beat from like 30 yards out just because she couldn't hop.
Only beginning. I think that's every goal. That thing that's ever been a goalie issue ever since we had Cecilia Santiago. Just America Femenil goalkeepers always seem to just have a step ahead.
Me and Dylan would make the argument that America let the best goalkeeper in the league go. But hey, that is just neither here nor there, right, AJ?
I prefer not to speak. If I speak, I am in big trouble.
I'm kidding. No, actually, look, hashtag in Renata Mascherelli we trust. I think, and I'm going to go out in record in saying this, and I may look like a fool, but I think that I'm just in what I'm about to say. I think America Femenil has the best goalkeeper in the league in Renata Mascherelli.
Oh, no doubt about it. She's top five, no doubt about it.
I'm putting my foot down firmly. And I know I've been critical of her too, but if you see some of the other goalkeepers, some of you would agree with me. But I'm going and putting my foot down, and I'm saying Renata Mascherelli, best goalkeeper in the league. I don't care what you say. She's not top five. She's not top three. She's top one, I promise you. And this season, I promise you, she's going to showcase it. She seems hungry. She seems determined. And there's something about her that just, she keeps elevating herself year in and year out. And I think this could be a big one for her. So, Renata Mascherelli, keep an eye on her, because I think she's going to be detrimental, as she has been in seasons past, but detrimental for America. All right, AJ, that does it in regards to arrivals and departures. A whole fresh look into this America side. What will 2021 bring, at least the latter stages, for this America side? Well, in order to kind of really truly comprehend that, let's talk a little bit about the preseason that these ladies had over in the States. Played a total of 3 games, if I'm not mistaken. All 3 of them were pretty convincing wins. But to that, I say it wasn't against the biggest or best of rivals, let's be honest. But talk to me a little bit more about the preseason that these ladies had over here in, I believe it was Texas.
Yep. So they first start off against the Demons with a 2-0 win. Yeah, Monica Rodriguez scoring her first goal for America Femenil, which is nice. Jenny Farias converting a penalty into a goal. Then we had Austin Elite FC, which we also defeated them 2-0. Goals coming from Mayra Pelayo and Diana Garcia. And then a great win against Woco FC, 6-0. Yeka scored twice. Monset scoring one. Dani Jimena Rios and Eva Gonzalez. These look pretty well. And just looking at their formations as well, Craig Harrington put up a lot of a 4-3-3 formations. And it was just nice to see just how the team was playing on the pitch. We were getting a lot of opportunities at goal, but we just weren't sealing them. And it's one of those that I feel like America Femenil we have seen in the prior seasons before. They have struggled to make the most out of opportunities. You can have 5, 10, 15 chances in a game, and some's only able to pull one or two away. While it's preseason, not the best of opponents, but it's to warm themselves up. It's now time for them to prepare themselves for the upcoming matches in the league. And I feel like this should be an idea to these players. Sometimes you can only have one chance in that entire game. You have to make the most out of it. Their wins. We're getting goals, which is nice to see, but it's just one of those things as well that America fans have pointed out time again that they need to be more precise with the opportunities that they get in goal. Yeah, it's only preseason, but at the same time, you want to score as soon as you get the ball the first time, put it in the back of the net. That's what you want to see. But all in all, convincing wins in Texas in total. You scored 10 goals in 3 games. That's good.
Yeah, and you know what? A clean sheet's always important to build confidence in the back as well. But again, I think that these ladies walk away with it and say, okay, this was kind of a good lap around the field. It wasn't really like they were being tested too much. Like, again, these rivals, no disrespect to them whatsoever. It just didn't seem like it was up to our par, up to our level. This is really just kind of basic. Let's get our feet wet and then see how it goes. I think the true test was when we had these kind of preseason friendlies back at home in Mexico. Mm-hmm. We played against Toluca and we played against, was it Pachuca?
Pumas.
Well, it was against Pumas. The Pumas one we lost, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. But the Toluca one we ended up winning. Talk to me a little bit more about those two matches, because I think those were truly a testament of what we might see this season.
Well, unfortunately, we didn't get to see any footage of them playing, but I did hear on tour they beat Toluca 5-1 convincingly. They were losing at first, but then second half, they just took over completely. They had 3 of those goals coming from the youngster, Ronaldita, as they called her, Renata Huerta, with 3 goals. You have another goal from Zaira Moreno, another youngster who has played academy, and then a goal from Eva Gonzalez. And just seeing things like that, it's good. And what I like to pinpoint from this match against Toluca, it's the youngsters that play in this game, like Renata Huerta and Zaira Moreno. They gained themselves goals. And I feel like this is something we hopefully get to see more on this upcoming season. And to have a convincing win like that, 5-1, against a team you're going to be playing against this season, that's something good to see. And we did put up a strong lineup as well against them. So seeing this result could be a reflection for what's to come in the upcoming Apertura.
Definitely. And then the Pumas game not really going Harrington's way, did it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, just a 2-1 loss. While we did make a late game substitute in the 80th minute, Renata Huerta once again scoring a goal for us. But unfortunately, it was not enough. But you're seeing Huerta all over the place, and that's a good thing. And Pumas, they're a good opposition. Last season, they were one of the top defensive teams in the league. And they got to show it here. We only allowed 1 goal in. You know, they gave America Femenil a tough match, but this is only the preseason. It's only just 1 game. We'll definitely be seeing them again in the season.
Definitely. It's all just begun. And I think after that matchup, we were seeing tweets, hashtag Harrington out, which I think is a little bit early, but hey, you know, fans like to be heard. Renata Huerta. So this is a player that has caught our eye ever since, you know, she made her debut with America. She seems to have something special. I like to call her Twinkle Toes because she's able to, you know, go in and around players, dribble. You know, we saw that amazing nutmeg she did. Who was it against? Necaxa?
Yeah, it was against Necaxa.
Again, like I said, again, really, truly, truly an amazing player. And I'm interested to see what she's capable of bringing to this America side. I think she may not necessarily get the starting position time and time again, but I think coming off the bench, she could be a kind of a very good player to introduce when maybe you need a little bit more creativity going forward or something like that. Overall, I mean, I like it, and I think it's going to be interesting to see what she's capable of doing. And, you know, Harrington might bring out the best in Renata Huerta. And who knows, by the end of the season, she might be an undisputed starter.
I would love to see that, because ever since I first saw her on that pitch, she had that nutmeg. And then he ended up doing that in a conversation going on Lalita. I'm just like, she's got something, and I know it. Just like you mentioned, like Tony tells how she's just able to just dribble past players left and right, like no tomorrow. Seems like she's just like a master with the ball and dribbling, and it's good to see. We do see her at times playing as a right winger. She is also able to play as a four despite her being short. I think she's around, 5'2", but many players in this league are not tall, but for someone like her, of her stature, where she's just able to just dribble past players like no tomorrow and just have the speed, like I mentioned, I think youngsters like Renata Huerta and Zaina Moreno will definitely be seeing some games under Craig Harrington this season.
Should be an interesting one. Definitely an interesting one, and we'll have to wait to see what happens. But that's kind of a little bit of a recap of what happened in and around the preseason for our ladies. It's hard for us to really get a gauge of everything, as none of these were really broadcasted. I think the States were the ones that really got more love and meant more attention. But even then, it was a little tricky to try to find a broadcast. I think only one was the one that actually got broadcasted. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. Again, it's unfortunate, but it seems like it's getting a little bit better year in, year out, AJ. They're getting a little bit more game coverage, which helps us out a lot, because sometimes we go into this a little blind, which always does make things a little bit more difficult. But overall, in the end, I mean, a total thumbs up from us here at the Eagle Eye Podcast for the ladies. I think it should be an interesting one, and we'll see what happens. But, all right, AJ, let's move on into the next segment, which is kind of previewing the overall apertura for the ladies. We'll talk a little bit about some of the games that kind of caught our eyes. And then, you know, we'll give our predictions as to where we see these ladies finishing in the at the end of the regular season and potentially maybe even Liguilla. We'll give out a couple players that we think need to have a pretty good season, so on and so forth. But beforehand, I do want to remind everyone that today's episode is brought to you guys by Foot Cult. And if you guys haven't done so already, make sure you guys go check out footcult.com. They got some amazing products, some amazing gear, and sometimes they have some amazing merchandise that is the Eagle Eye Podcast branded. As you guys can see, AJ is wearing our beautiful new Eagle Eye Podcast kit. Look at that. That's a throwback if I've seen any throwback on a Thursday before. Just kind of, you know, merges that beautifulness of the 80s, that, you know, richness of the 2000s, and then just kind of puts it all together and says, you know what, here's something that you guys weren't expecting. So again, thank you for Foot Cult for making that a possibility, something that we definitely were in the works for, and glad that we were able to make it a possibility to everyone that ordered one. Again, thank you so much. And if you guys like that, we'll have many more stuff with Foot Cult along the way. But it's not to say that that's the only thing they have. They got a lot more stuff over there, so make sure you guys check them out. They got some amazing stuff that they're going to be dropping pretty soon. You guys don't want to miss any second of that whatsoever. So again, thank you for Foot Cult for sponsoring today's episode. You guys can get 10% off for all Foot Cult products, if you guys go to if you guys use the discount code EEP at checkout to get 10% off. Again, that is discount code EEP at checkout to get 10% off. All right, AJ, let's talk Apertura 2021 for our ladies. Home opener is going to be against Santos Laguna, and when I mean home opener, I truly do mean home opener, correct?
Yes. We're back at the Azteca, finally. Fun fact, we've only played 24 games in the Estadio Azteca. And now we finally get to have our home games this season at the Estadio Azteca, the true home. Not Guapa, not at the training facilities, no, but home.
Because you know what they say, AJ, home is home, and you can't ever take that away from Mariga. The Azteca is always going to be the kind of, you know, the place where everything and everything should be. I think the most interesting thing is that we are going to get a full calendar of America Femenil at the Estadio Azteca, which I think a lot of people are excited about. A lot of people are, us included, because, you know, it means that potentially we get more game coverage from them here in the States, because you would imagine the equipment is just sitting there, so might as well just kind of, you know, turn it on and have people watch it. But that is the home opener, and I think that one's the first one that catches your eyes. If you look at the first opening six matches, which is what we typically see here, I think America Femenil's calendar is quite favorable. I think you're looking at this one and you're thinking, you know what? I think your strongest opponent within the first six jornadas is definitely Pachuca. Mm-hmm. But it's to see how they come into that jornada five. And then you think, well, you know, if we can get some track record within the first four matches, I don't know. It could be promising for us. One home opener, and then the second one also being at home against Puebla. That's always going to be fun, not having to travel. You know, going to and from will be interesting to be able to stay at the Estadio Azteca for a while. And then kind of the bigger matches here, giving you guys kind of dates as to when you guys can expect the first Clásico, being September 4th. That is against Pumas. That is at home at the Estadio Azteca. They have this written down right now, Saturday, September 4th, like I mentioned, 8 p.m. Central Time. That is 6 p.m. Pacific Time. And for you, AJ, 9 p.m. Eastern. So, be interesting to see that. Then we have two back-to-back Clásicos, Jornada 11 and Jornada 12. So, we have Cruz Azul on Monday, October 4th. That is going to be an interesting one. And then, right after that, here's an interesting one, AJ. We travel away to Guadalajara, and we go up against Chivas on a Monday out of all days. Interesting. So, that game is going to be, like we mentioned, Monday, October 11th. That is at 9 p.m. Central Time, 7 p.m. Pacific Time, and, of course, for you, AJ, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then to close out the Jornada, I think the last four matches are going to be an interesting one. I think it's a tough, tough ask for America Femenil. Look, you're going up against Rayadas, you're going up against Atlas, and you're going up against Tigres, and your last matchup is against León, which maybe on paper seems a little bit more of a favorable side, but you've had to go up against Rayadas, Atlas, and Tigres before going, you know, and then after that, León. Not an easy task whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, so, no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm, at all. But, I mean, if you had to sum it up overall, I think this is quite a favorable calendar. If anything, it looks and mirrors a little bit kind of the men's as well, thinking you have a promising start to the season, but you do have a pretty tough closing to the season as well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Just like you mentioned, like the first opening games, while it seems favorable, the one that does scare me actually is Pachuca, because they're Brian Charlin Corral and they got Lucero Cuevas. Those two up front, that's going to definitely be challenging America's defense right there at that point, see what they can do. But all the other games, they'll paint to be pretty fun matches. While last season, we did have to struggle against some of these teams. Santos, we only beat them 2-1. Puebla, last game of the season, we did end up losing 1-0. Querétaro, I'm pretty sure we did have to get the win, but it was not an easy task. Same with Toluca on the other hand, not an easy task as well. Opening matches don't seem too different. Then down the road, it does go back a little bit easy with teams like San Luis and Necaxa. Then you got that first Clásico against Pumas, which is definitely a challenge. We were the team, though, that did end up stopping them from getting clean sheets. And then from there, it was just a downhill road for Pumas. They just conceded goals left and right after that. But then we have the back-to-back Clásicos against Cruz Azul, 8 p.m. actually on October 4th, which is nice, actually. Get to see that. Have a late-night Liga MX Femenil match, and what better way? It's a Clásico. And you got Guadalajara, that'll be pretty fun. But then those last four games of the season, Rayadas, Atlas, and Tigres. Oh, that's painful. I think about it right now. We're not even towards the end. I'm just already knowing that's going to be very tough.
It is. It is. It's always going to be a tough matchup. But I think, in theory, you would want to go into those games pretty much close to securing your spot into the Liguilla. Now, Whether or not that's going to be the case, that's going to be up to Carrington and the ladies to kind of decide for themselves as to whether they want to suffer towards the end of the season or if they want to maybe backpack a little bit of it and just kind of be like, all right, we did our work at the beginning. Let's just kind of, you know, see where things land at the end of the season. But I think it's an interesting one because if América can close out the season strong and get some pretty good results against your Rayadas, your Tigres, your Atlases, who's to say that that doesn't spark a little bit of something to get them into a deep run? You know, I think that's important, and that's going to kind of maybe catapult this team into something that we've never really truly seen from this America side. So we'll have to wait and see. Let's talk a little bit about objectives here, AJ, because the ladies kind of have a burden. It's not probably the proper word to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. They have a little bit of a burden that they have to hold the same kind of, what is the word I'm looking for? They kind of, unfortunately, have to uphold to the same standards as the men's side of things because you're America, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that they don't need to because the institution is the institution and we will always demand high demands from it because we are who we are. But it is going to be a little bit unfair because I feel like, you know, it's still a rebuilding process from the ground up in this team. You're looking at the fact that you've let go of the one manager that was with you from the beginning, and now you're having to, you know, go back to the drawing board with Carrington. Some of these players having to adapt to a new system that they may not be so familiar with because with Cuellar, it was just a lot of rinse and repeat. So as far as objectives go, for America Femenil this season, what do you think the fans kind of will project onto this team? And then what is a realistic objective for this America side to achieve?
Hey, go back to winning ways. We're out of an era with Leo Cuellar. We're out with the old and in with the new with someone like Craig Harrington to see what he can bring to the board and see what he can bring onto the pitch with the squad that he has. A lot of these players, they've been with Cuellar for a very long time, where he has known them at some point when they were little. Now at Harrington, it's him just having to figure out who's who, what's their preferred position, how do they play, now how he's going to implement how his players play into his own formation. That's what I want to see for this team. I just need to see winning ways. It was very tough last season. It was at that point like we were beat up, and it's just like we got to the end. Now just try our best. We fell early in the quarterfinals, and now in this case, I think that's what every America wants to see. Now we want to challenge against these teams with the new team, with the new acquisitions that we've got now, and how preseason is looking like. Any American fan has the highest expectation for them. It's to get into the playoffs, and overall, we would like to see them lift the trophies. Now, see how they could pair up against every other team, but all I just want to see is this team to just be strong, is just to be strong and play with 100% passion. Because last season, I feel like we didn't really see it that much. They were just, it felt like if anything, excuse for the French, like half-ass it. We don't want to see that. We want to see every single one of these players play with 100% day in and day out in every game that they play. What I'd expect for América Femenil, I want to see a top four spot. I definitely think this time around, we could definitely finish it with the players that we got. Now for the expectation, in my opinion, I'd see them trying to get to a semifinal. That's what I honestly would see they can do. We're not going to be going here with a new manager, be like, we're heading to a final immediately and win the title. Start things off. It's his first season. Let's see what he knows in this league. And then go into next season, see what he can improve on.
So would you say that the expectations are going to be a little bit tempered? Like they're going to be a little bit taped and say, okay, look, we understand that it's a new manager, it's a mm-hmm. new system, we're building from the ground up. You think the fans will have that understanding of it's a new process? So as long as we make it into the playoffs, that's reasonable. That's more than enough reason to say it was a good season? Or do you think that as every year, title or bust?
It's different this time around. If anything, I want just do a small little compare and contrast, like with the men's side of things. Santiago Solari, first game in, we know he's playing Real Madrid. He's done something. Has he really won a major title? No. When he came to America, well, yes, you are America on the men's side of things. You want to win everything. In this case, not everyone was out Solari when we lost in quarterfinals. It's like, okay, it's his first season. Let's see what he can do now in the next season. I feel like this is going to be the same case with Harrington. It's his first season. He's new to the entire league itself. While, yes, he has been in Mexico to see some games now, now he's going to have to experience an entire season with this team and see what notch he has got, what he has obtained from coaching this team, and see how he can do it next season. For me, try his very best, not just because of my tribe, but I want him to do his very best that he possibly can. So for me, get to the playoffs. That's the thing we got to do. If you're America, you need to be in the playoffs, no doubt. We have made every single, and every single season we have played this league, we have made it to the playoffs. We definitely don't make it to the playoffs. That's a bust, no doubt about it. And there's going to be some problems. If we can get past the quarterfinals, if it's not like an opponent like Tigres, we definitely can get into the semis. And who knows, if we do not happen to face against Tigres in the semis, it could be someone like Rayas, Atlas, or Chivas. That'll be a tough fight, but I think it's definitely doable to get into the final. So for Real Madrid, to put in short, get to the playoffs and finish in a top spot, top four, my opinion.
I think that's the proper expectations to have, AJ. And I think that any fan out there, reasonably speaking, would say that that is kind of what they're looking for too. But you know that we are America, and I think Chris has said it before too in the comments before, we are the most spoiled fan base in and around this league. And because of that, we have high expectations that never really get tapered and will always be title or bust, whether it's for the ladies, whether it's for the men. And I don't, and I don't disown that whatsoever. I'm not saying that that's bad. I'm just saying that's our culture. It's not to say that it's, you know, I'm not here to paint a line and say it's good or bad in the sense. I'm just saying that is the way we operate. And I think that, you know, I would at least hope that Carrington's coming into this one and saying, you know what, I know the expectations. I know what it is. And I'm here to demonstrate that I'm capable of surpassing those expectations. And so he knows that he is going to be in debt with this fan base until there's another title being lifted. And so it'll be interesting to see. But again, we need to be more level-headed in coming into the season and saying, okay, let's take it game by game, and then we'll make our assessments as we go through the season. But it is an interesting kind of topic to have a discussion around as to what we think, at least the board would want, maybe what we're asking for as well. Top four, get into the playoffs, see what happens from there. But I think that is kind of where the bar is at, to be honest. And we'll have to wait and see what happens. But should be an interesting one, AJ. I'm excited for the season. I'm really, really excited to see what this new coach and these new players are capable of doing for this America side. So, well, give me your prediction, AJ, as to how far you think this America side is going to go. First, give me, where do you think after the regular season in the table, do America finish off? And then we'll go from there.
I'd say they'll secure fourth place. And
fourth place?
They'll secure fourth.
I like it. Fourth place. Okay. I'm going to be a little bit more daring and adventurous. As much as I want to say first place, we both know that's not going to happen. I'm going third place, AJ. I think we can nick it somehow. I think we have some talent. And I think with some of these youngsters being kind of a little bit more of a revolution for this side, I think we can surprise a couple of people. And third place isn't, I think, a far stretch for this team whatsoever. So I'd like to see third place. Although fourth, I'd be more than content with. Definitely. Mm-hmm. But like you mentioned, top four is a must. Let's talk playoffs then. If we get into that top four position, we make it into the playoffs, how far do you think we make it?
Well, hit semis. I feel like in my opinion, that's where we're going to hit. While we would love to hit for our final, I just feel like maybe semis, if anything, I'll be content with. We were just one step away from getting there. And in previous times, we have mostly finished in semis. That's where we've mostly just been at. Last time I've been to a final was 2018. But semifinals, I'll be content with.
I'm torn. But I'm going to join you. I'm going to join you, AJ. I'm going semis. I think that we can get over that little hump of finishing, getting knocked out in the first round. And hopefully in the semifinals we get there. And, I mean, after that, maybe everything's up in the air and seeing where we can land off. So we'll have to wait and see. But that is kind of where we're kind of at least placing the team. It'd be nice if they give us something better than that, which I think we would all be more than grateful for. But for the meantime, that is where kind of we're setting our expectations, and hopefully they can live up to it, and if not, even more so. But that is kind of where we're at in regards to the season. Quickly, AJ, give me just a couple players that you think these our listeners should be kind of keeping an eye out for in regards to these ladies.
For start things off, Renata Mascherelli. We mentioned before, and Ivan stated that she's arguably the best goalkeeper in this league, and she's someone that's definitely going to need to be at that same, if not even go at a bigger level than what she was from last season. Made a lot of incredible saves. Always telling her defense to get it together. Be that brick wall. Help her out. Communicate. And at the match, I feel like, as people mentioned, she was long overdue for her starting time in America when you usually see her on the bench. And I feel like maybe this could be the season she gets a call to the national team, which would be amazing for her to see. But also for her to be in America, continue starting every single game of the season and being that goalkeeper that we need. Become, who knows, maybe just as good as Cecilia Santiago, if not even better than her. That's what I love to see. Another player, Justin Arjen, she's definitely going to need to step up from what it was from last season. Last season was very tough for everyone, but for the defense this time around, she's definitely got to be a staple in that defense. In that back four, she stands out from the bunch. Very tall. She's capable of journey, able to even take the ball all the way up to midfield. Even at times, you could see her up front. She definitely has the defense, and she has the offense that she could bring like into this defense and at times get herself involved in team plays. In midfield, and this time around, I'm going to have to see Ava Gonzalez step up as well. Like, I say she was arguably one of the best players that we had last season, and this time around, let's continue it. It felt like when I saw her, it's like the same thing everyone first saw in Jennifer Munoz since she first arrived at America Femenil. A standout player. A hidden gem, I even say myself, and even a contender for one of the best midfielders in the league. And Ava Gonzalez, I think she's got that tie right now at the moment for one of the best midfielders in this league right now currently. And I'd say are you maybe the best midfielder that America has. I mean, for her to do amazing, she always can, and be that player that we once saw Jen Munoz to be. Only a one season one, but with Ava, it seems every single season and she improves more and more, and I'd love to see that. And then forward, I would like to see Kiana Palacios and see what she can do. She's come from Spain, not to play in Mexico. This is a whole new playing ground for her in a whole new league that's improving more and more each season. Love to see what she can bring to the table. I feel like she's definitely going to be starting in a lot of games this season for America Femenil. She's played a lot in the national team, and she's played a lot in Spain. Let's see what she can do in an America uniform. Would love to see her score a bunch of goals left and right, and maybe see that play that could, who knows, now give Dani Espinosa a run for her money now in goal scoring now. I'd love to see that. If not, help her out up front as well. Get to see both of them score goals left and right. Be that partner that Dani Espinosa has been looking for ever since Lucero Cuevas left the team.
Definitely. I mean, some pretty good names right there. You picked a couple of the people I was going to say. So, yeah, I mean, exactly who AJ mentioned, that's exactly who you guys need to look out for. The Renata Mascherelli, I think she definitely needs to get called up to the national team because it was an embarrassment what these goalkeepers were doing against the U.S. women's national team. I'm just going to put it like that. And whoever has an issue with me, you guys know where to find me on Twitter because I will sit and die on this hill that those goals were undisputably terrible to concede. And Mascherelli would have done so much better, AJ. So much better. But you know, those are really good names, and I think those are kind of the key standout players that mostly everyone is going to hopefully want to see in an America jersey step up this season. And we'll just wait to see what happens, AJ. Have to wait to see what happens. But all right, that does it for our season preview. AJ, let's talk a little bit of what's going to happen on Sunday, because America, like we mentioned, opens up the Estadio Azteca for the Apertura against Santos Femenil. What can we expect from this matchup, AJ? What can we expect from Santos? But most importantly, what can we expect from Harrington and these ladies coming into this, you know, start of the season?
Last time these two teams met, America won 2-1 away. It was a tough match, but we managed to get away and secure our 3 points. I expect real quick Harrington, considering how he ran a lot in the preseason with the 4-2-2 formation, I expect the same thing because I feel like in this time around, when I'm looking at our rosters, we don't really have that many wingers really or players in midfield. So I feel like it's the best thing he can do. It's running a 4-3-3, and we have seen success with this 4-3-3 formation. Considering when you're looking at the preseason results, very good. So I expect him to run the same thing. With Santos on the other hand, it just seems to be one of those teams that always happen to just score on América Femenil, no matter what the case is, whether they're in good form, bad form, always seems to get a goal or two against us. While most games have either been at a 1-1 draw or 0-0 draw, there have been instances where América have won for the most case, but they're definitely going to give América a run for their money. You have good players like Cynthia Peraza, who's been their the team captain and their all-time leading goal scorer. She's definitely going to be stepping up to the plate and scoring a goal, no doubt about it. I feel like it's going to be happening. If there's any player I know in Santos Laguna Femenil that'll be scoring a goal, it's going to be Peraza, no doubt about it. Some of the notable players that América Femenil used to have, like Marcela Vera, very solid defender, should definitely be giving some of the forwards at América Femenil a tough time. They ain't getting past her that easily. Yeah, players like Wendy Morales, say Toledo. Morales, she was a solid backup defender for América. I feel like she'd definitely be stepping into the occasion. And Alexia Villanueva, I just like to see her as like a little mini Henry Martin, Mrs. Muscle Girl herself. I could definitely see her getting herself maybe a goal or so in this case, but América's going to be having quite the task at hand to play against Santos Laguna Femenil. They gave them a tough time last season. No difference going to be in here. They're definitely going to give it their all, and so should América Femenil. Especially Craig Harrington, observe what's happening on the pitch. You should be taking notes every single time. Learn from each and every single one of these 17 teams you'll be playing against this season. It sounds like Luna, no doubt about it. Take notes to see how they'll play.
Interesting. Well, I it sounds like Santos is going to come in and try to do the job, and I think América will have to kind of weather the storm at times, but, you know, it's hard to really depict how this side really plays. I don't think we'll get an idea of what Harrington wants from these ladies until maybe after the third or fourth jornada. So I can't sit here and tell you, AJ, we're going to try to be a team with possession. We're going to try to be a team that likes to explode on the counter. I can't really tell you how we're going to play in and against around Santos. I will tell you this much, though. We're not going to see a Leo Cuellar situation where we kind of sit deep a little bit and try to get and relieve on the counter. I would hope that we're leaning towards being a little bit more of a possessive side team and not being afraid to have the ball. But then again, I don't know. There's different tactics, different ways of playing. And I mean, we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see. But again, it should be interesting. This game entirely is going to be kind of the first game we can actually start dissecting Harrington's tactics. We'll see what works, what doesn't work, and we can go off and kind of build an assessment for this team off of this game. But it will be an interesting one nonetheless. That 4-3-3 is something that I think can play dividend to this side. I think we have the players that fit in this role perfectly. And even so, saying that, that means we might have to shift Dani Espinosa to the right wing position. But I'm not too opposed to it either. I think with Kiana Palacios, maybe sometimes rotating and switching with Dani will be interesting to see if they do, kind of overlap each other at times during the game. Will be interesting. But I am, you know, I'm curious to know as to what you think the starting 11 is going to be against Santos on Sunday.
All right. So goalkeeper, Renata Mascherelli starting. Our back fours B consists of Karen Luna on the left. Two center backs is going to be Janine Farias and Jocelyn Rojer. Our right back is going to be Monica Rodriguez. In midfield, we're going to be having Amanda Perez playing as the center defensive midfielder. Your two center mids is going to be Cas Cuevas and Ava Gonzalez. On the left wing, you're going to have Montse Hernandez. On the right wing, I'm going to have Daniela Espinosa. And at striker, I'm actually not have Peña Palacios. Instead, I'm going to have Natalia Malion get the start over her.
Interesting. Why?
I just feel like, considering, you know, Malion is young, she's the one that definitely has the Liga MX Femenil experience with Toluca. I feel like he's definitely going to be using someone like her to see what she can do against Santos. She's played against Santos before plenty of times. See what she can do. And then if not, if things don't happen to be in her way, you can always have a super sub like Kiana Palacios ready at your disposal and just start right as your striker position from there. So I'd see my Leon game to start over Palacios for this one.
Interesting. And let's not also forget that Blue is also going to be in contender for trying to, you know, put her name into the starting position as well. So interesting to see if she gets minutes as well. We'll see what happens. But internally, competition should be at an all-time maximum high, which I think will bode well for this América side, to be honest. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. But interesting. I like your formation. I can see it happening. I can see it working, actually, to be honest. I think he'd be inclined more to play Kiana. Because I feel like he can communicate with her better because they both speak English.
Funny enough, as you mentioned that, Craig Harrington and his staff are actually taking lessons in Spanish to communicate. And that's actually really good. So. You
know, I would hope so.
I would love to hear him in his first post-conference. When you have it on Zoom, he'll probably be... I'd say if Aang will have a translator maybe for, like, the first game, for the first round or two, and then maybe he gets himself comfortable, or he can speak on full on Spanish. Probably better than me, honestly. So, hey, I would love to see just him just saying little words in Spanish to his players, you know. Be nice to see.
Someone's going to teach him La Concha, you know, what follows after that. But hey, we'll see what happens, though. It should be interesting. Look, we're excited just to have the ladies back on our screens because that game is going to be broadcasted live via TUDN. Again, this matchup is at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 12 noon Central Time, and 1 p.m. Eastern. We'll see what happens, AJ, but it'll be an interesting affair nonetheless to see what these ladies are capable of doing.
Can't wait for it. Nope. And it's going to be live on TUDN USA, so you get to watch the game right on TV, even though at some point, no, down the road, I'm going to have to go back to the bootleg streams on YouTube. So it's good. But hey, as well, many of these teams...
We'll see. Fingers crossed, not so much.
Yeah, no, and then many of these teams actually are securing the TUDN deal, so you get to see a lot of them more, and who knows, maybe we'll be seeing América Femenil more on TUDN rather than just me having to just constantly go onto the dark web searching for a match. So
definitely, and then you end up with like a Polish third division match and you're just like, this is nowhere near America for me. The only one good thing about this whole Hana situation that she left was no longer having to hear the Hana on TUDN. And that is a victory in this department, AJ. That is a victory. Let the Tigres fans deal with that. Now we can just kind of not have to worry about it and focus on the game. And by the way, focusing about the game, AJ's going to have you guys covered over on our Twitter account. So if you guys want to follow that game live alongside with AJ, you guys can give him your takes and your thoughts in regards to everything that is going on in Harrington's first matchup in Liga MX Feminine. And we'll have to wait and see if AJ's got some pretty good gifts for us to use as well. So we'll have to wait. But nonetheless, AJ, I think we're running out of time here. Anything else to add on in regards to the preview?
No, that's about it. But I'm just really excited that Liga MX Feminine is finally back. We have a whole new season, new players, new coaches, same old Liga MX Feminine. And cannot wait to see what América Femenil is going to bring to the table, especially with Craig Harrington. It's his first season in this league. See what he can do with these players.
Definitely. Well, alrighty, then we won't take any more of your guys' time. But again, we just want to say thank you to everyone that was out here listening and watching, to everyone that is going to be following the game live on Sunday. Well, make sure you guys are sticking to our live tweets over on Twitter, as AJ, again, will have you guys covered every second of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, Liga MX Femenil is back, and our Lady Aguilas are back as well. So make sure you guys show their support on Twitter by using the hashtag Lady Aguilas. Quick note for every Americanista out there. It looks like the team is ready to drop the new home kit tomorrow. If you guys are listening to this by tomorrow, it would have been already today. It looks like that's going to be the case. It's an interesting thing that they're doing, AJ, with some water bottle recycling stuff going on, trying to preserve the world, trying to preserve the earth. Interesting stuff. We'll see what happens. Again, I think everyone already knows what the jersey looks like because it's been leaked time and time again. But it'll be nice to officially get it, and so that everyone can already officially buy it from America. So that is to say that the ladies will most likely be using that home kit jersey against Santos on Sunday. So it'll be an interesting one to see nonetheless, AJ.
Cannot wait. I already ordered the away jersey. And I'm looking
there to you go.
I'm looking to get a name on the back of that jersey. And hey, maybe I might just cop the home jersey as well.
Kiana Palacios, AJ is ready to cop your jersey as soon as you score a brace. That's what we're saying. I would say hat trick, but I don't want to put too much pressure on her first stint at America. But all right, then, you guys have a wonderful time out there. We'll be back next week to talk all things America Femenil. We'll be recapping that Santos game, and we'll give you guys a preview against Puebla again in the Estadio Azteca. So should be a fun one. AJ, thank you again for coming out today. It's always been fun, and it always continues to be fun talking America Femenil with you.
Thank you so much. As always, Thursdays, it's the best time for me because I get to talk everything America Femenil. And yeah, I just can't wait to talk more about it down the road this season.
And it's buy one, get one free at Buffalo Wild Wings, too. So just kind of give you guys a heads up. That's why we love Thursdays also. So not only do we get Lady Aguilas, but we get wings as well. So just quick little plug right there. Buffalo Wild Wings, if you guys ever want advertisements, you just come our way. We'll be more than glad to do so. But all right, AJ, you guys have a wonderful time. We'll be back next time to talk all things America Femenil. We'll be back to recap all of that stuff. And on Tuesdays, not Tuesdays, excuse me, AJ, on Mondays, you guys can hear all things about America on the men's side of things. Can't even get my words out anymore. But again, thank you guys so much. We'll catch you guys. Stay safe out there. Please continue wearing your masks. And as always, arriba America. Good night, everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.